The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it.
From the east to the west, from the north to the south,
God's Spirit moves across the face of the earth.
From the east to the west, from the north to the south, we gather together, united by God's Spirit, to celebrate God's glory and proclaim his praise. Let us worship God together.
Psalm 24 of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord might in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Good morning. Here we are, having had 3 months of lockdown, and now with the hopes of things getting a little bit easier, but we don't quite know yet. There have been times, I'm sure, like many of you, to ask the question, is this situation real or am I just dreaming? But then to find, yes, it is very real. And what has that made me think? Well, prayer has become much more urgent, not just for ourselves, but for our friends in different countries. And the situations, some of which are very different to here, and folk who have had many more trials and situations than we have had here, and news which sometimes is a little incomplete, and we've needed to find out a little bit more how folk are really handling that in Africa and Europe and other places where we've heard of flooding and people being homeless because of the situation, but wonderfully rescued from the floods. But we also have had more time perhaps to enjoy the wonderful Sussex countryside and opportunities to walk without feeling that we're wasting time or that we should be doing other things. And we're very grateful for that. But so as we've spent time in prayer, we have also been able to think about friends in the cafe that we are not able to meet now, and the opportunities we had then in cafe to talk with folk, to share day-to-day activities, and that's very different now. So we have been glad for those online contacts with home group and the opportunity to receive messages from church and different opportunities to contact online with groups like the Christian Muslim Centre in Oxford, where we have often wanted to go to some of the interesting lectures between Christian and Muslim leaders there, but it's such a journey just for a two-hour discussion. And now we've had the opportunity to share in discussions online about subjects both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and had opportunities to think about why we believe what we do and to begin to understand something of the background of the way Muslims think and why they think in this way, and how I can perhaps ask questions about their understanding of the New Testament, and especially why they see Jesus as a prophet and not in the way that we do, as God's Son and our Saviour. So, as there have been different ways to share our faith, and the same cafe opportunities have not been available, but we are very blessed in this country to know that, in fact, we have a health service that takes care of us, and we have folk who will help and share in situations, bringing food and checking that folk are well. In many countries, that's not the same, as we well know from Nigeria, where we have enjoyed great fellowship and are still able to talk and share with them. They face many challenges, and often people have those uncertainties about what is real. And that's true, I think, sometimes of folk in this country. And also times to question faith. Where is it leading? And why are we so sure about what we believe? And how can we share that with folk here? Time to really ask ourselves, why believe? What do we believe? And what are the ways in which we can share that with other people and bring them to an understanding of who Jesus really is? We look forward to times when we can meet again. In the meantime, we'll continue to pray.
Hi, just a few thoughts on what I've learned over the last nearly 4 months in lockdown now. What's changed for me? How do I see things differently? I think from the reading I've been doing, the idea of the Sabbath, a kind of enforced Sabbath that we've been going through because we haven't been taking our foot off the gas enough, we haven't been leaving room for God and for creation. That's been something that I think is very relevant. So I'm going to personally pay more attention to that and getting the right balance in my life. I think also the idea of the Jubilee year from the Old Testament maybe is from Jewish law. The idea that we give space to the oppressed, the overlooked, the disadvantaged in society. That's something we could look at. Thinking about church and creation, where is God? We've not been able to use the church building. Church has been very different for us. So if God's not in our church, where is he? And I think he's in all of this, all of creation. It's all his fine work, and he still inhabits it in a sense. It's God's wisdom working through creation that has forced this time upon us in a way. We've brought it upon ourselves. It's not that God is punishing us for what we've done. It's a natural consequence of the way we've set society up over the last years and decades. And I think the natural wisdom that God has embedded in creation is coming to the fore because of all of that. So it's given me a new appreciation for creation. I'm now looking for God everywhere. I'm looking for him in the big things. We looked at a comet in the sky last night, or the small things, the insects, stag beetles in Elm Grove Lane the other day. He's just in everything. And to look at some things as being sacred and other things not just doesn't make sense to me now. So what does it mean for us as church, for the for us as the hub. I think the challenge for me is, how do we keep our doors open, so to speak, even though communication is hard? How do we be an inviting community? How do we form new bonds with people? How do we reach more of our community and our society using the tools we've now got at our disposal? Pete's message in the service today, July the 12th, was about the culture we find ourselves in and the need to act courageously, and that's a very powerful message for me. And I think the next weeks and months are going to be really exciting, working out what this means, because we won't go back to where we were before. So looking forward to what's to come and working this out together. Blessings to everyone.
For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit.
For many years, our kids would be perplexed by a seemingly simple question: where are you from? And when you live overseas, you often feel like a foreigner. Home is always somewhere where you're not. When you come home, you also often feel like a foreigner. It's like home is an elusive place. One of the children once remarked, "I only really feel at home at the airport when I'm traveling." And so we taught them that home isn't where the heart is, but home is not where your house is, home is where your family is. And Ephesians 2 says a similar thing: you are citizens of heaven. And as Christians, we spend many years trying to create this illusion of home for our lives. We talk about the church and our churchmanship, but none of it really works for us because this really isn't a home. It's like we're made for somewhere else, for someone else. Home is not where our church is or our heart is or our house is. Home is where our family is, where all those heroes of Hebrews 11 and every saint who's gone before us, that is our home. That is our homeland. We don't belong here. We're passing through. It's like we're living in the airport of life and the spare currency that we have left over from our travels are our possessions that we can gladly and freely share with others because we don't really belong here. We desire a better country, a heavenly country, not a golden ticket or an escape hatch away from this current existence, but a homecoming, a culmination of the kingdom we long to see fulfilled. As C.S. Lewis wrote, the land I've been looking for all my life. And until we're home, we live lightly. We love generously. We don't gather stuff like those around us gather stuff, but we spend our lives reminding ourselves and each other that we are citizens of heaven. We desire a greater country. We're not yet home, but one day we will be.
Almighty God, you call us to shine like stars in the world, to shed light like a lamp set upon a lampstand. Help us and all your church to fulfil at least a little of that calling through our words, our actions, our living and our loving, to share something of what we have received from you. Where there is darkness, let us bring light. Teach us to speak openly and honestly of our faith, not falling into the language of jargon or cliche, but testifying in our own words to what Jesus means to us. Where there is darkness, let us bring light. Teach us to work with our fellow Christians of all denominations and none, recognising the need to learn from one another and working together in the cause of the gospel. Where there is darkness, let us bring light. Teach us to love those around us, not simply other believers, not merely in words, but all people and through actions that speak unmistakably of our sincerity. Where there is darkness, let us bring light. Almighty God, it is easy to talk of being your people, much harder to live as though we are. Equip us and enable us to respond to that challenge and reach out in love to the world. Where there is darkness, let us bring light. To the glory of your name, amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.